And I left out the little message from the chair because I think we've hit a stride on this. So I'm just going to go right to the roll call vote so that we all know we can hear and be heard. So if you just answer yes. Mr. Corson? Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
David Hill, April 22nd, just for the record.
Thank you. And Mr. Main is here. That's a good point, David. And
are we recording?
We are indeed.
We are, yes. The other participants are Marjorie. Would you acknowledge that you can hear and be heard?
Here.
Thank you, Town Administrator, and our clerk, Christine.
I'm here.
Thank you, Christine. Okay, having said that, let's get into, we'll open it up for public comments for items that are not on the agenda. And so any member of the public that wishes to raise their hand virtually, we'll be looking for you. And if there's anything you'd like to bring up at this point in the meeting, please feel free to. We've got 11 attendees at the moment. Seeing no hands, I will move forward. Town reports. Do we have anything for special for COVID-19? And Donna, this would feel free to chime in with anything the card has at this point too.
Okay.
Marjorie, you have anything?
Well, just a few minutes ago, I sent you a letter from the town administrator that we're rewriting or updating, if you will. It was decided at the last CART meeting that we should keep reiterating the same message, but maybe in a different way. So I wrote up something, but honestly, Erica Newman and Lila Bisharat took the bones of my letter and really made it a very nice finished product. So even though my signature will be on it, I feel so important because now I have speech writers and letter writers.
I love it.
But yeah, they really made it, it's a nice letter.
Could you read that, Marjorie? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I just sent it out. It's pretty long. You want me to read the whole thing?
Well, I think
it would be a good idea.
841 words. It is.
Dear Shabig friends and neighbors, all of us, wherever we may be, are trying to stay at home, stay healthy, and stop the spread of the coronavirus. The island has pulled together and is doing a great job caring for one another during the pandemic. That is the good news. The bad news is we are not in the safe zone yet. I have received some calls asking about returning to Shabig from homes nearby in Maine or from other states. You have asked, when can I return to my summer home, or can I come over just for the day to check on my cottage? Please try to understand that we are working very hard to stop the spread of the coronavirus. We believe that you are too. In our hearts, we want to see you, but we cannot. We are not safe from the spread yet. In fact, Cumberland County, of which we are a part, has the most cases, 386 cases and still rising, and the highest number of deaths. We are closely following the Maine governor's orders and CDC guidelines to flatten the curve and stay healthy. On the island, we have community members working together to maintain the safety of Shabig and keep island life going. We are all striving for zero loss of life. Consider these facts. In Maine, the number of COVID-19 cases and deaths is still growing daily. Shabig's number of older at-risk population per mile is very high. The Commons has been heroic in their safety measures during the coronavirus pandemic. They are keeping their residents and employees, many of whom are islanders, safe. We do not want to jeopardize their success. Our exceptional EMS is prepared, trained, and committed as always to meet the island's 911 needs. However, we do not want to put unknown factors and stress on our emergency and rescue system in the face of a COVID-19 outbreak. To date, we have not had a coronavirus crisis. Chubik Transportation Company has made extensive safety measures and changes to all services, boat, bus, ticketing, rider protocols, EMS, and 911 rescue. In short, the CTC is doing everything in their power to keep COVID-19 off the boat and stop the spread. Sources of food are stretched to the limits. Islanders are banding together, finding island-friendly food suppliers, with Julie and the island market going beyond the call of duty. The food pantry has been set up for all, not just those with financial insecurity, hoping to limit trips to the mainland. We are working individually and together to drastically limit our trips to the mainland, even for essential services. One example of the stretched resources, Whole Foods is not servicing any new accounts. The island market has reduced deliveries and Casco Bay Lines has fewer trips. The council's health clinic and the majority of Chabique Island facilities are closed, including the school and the rec center grounds. In other words, the island we love is at the end of the supply chain. Our selectmen have issued a resolution on March 28th asking you to please stay where you are and not travel to Chabique. We are also in a state of emergency until further notice. The safest place to be at this time is at your home, especially if you are healthy. In addition, we are under Governor of Maine Janet Mills' executive order of March 31st to shelter in place. You can read about it here, quote, stay healthy at home, and the list of essential services. Coming to check on your island home if you are not already sheltered in place here is not an essential service. The governor has advised in an executive order requiring anyone coming to Maine after, there should be a date in there, must quarantine for at least 14 days. I'll fix that. On Chabique, that means that as an islander, you have to think through our current situation. If you come to the island, we expect you and your family to self-quarantine for at least 14 days. This means you must stay in your house. You can't go to the transfer station, Dowdy's Market, post office, or the boatyard for gas. You must bring enough food, medicine, and supplies for you, your family, and pets for the full 14 days. If you have a need for your home, boat, or automobile, you are unlikely to get service as you would under normal conditions. We are one Chabique in our hearts. This global pandemic calls on us all to follow the science and stop the spread of the dangerous virus. Even if it means staying apart for now, this is hard for all of us. Islanders are working together to do our best to protect Chabique. We will make it through together. We look forward to the day when we can welcome you back without restrictions. You can find updates on the town website under the COVID-19 tab. Please contact me if you have any questions. Be safe and be kind. Marjorie Stratton, Town Administrator.
Thank you, Marjorie. Anything to add to that in the COVID report, either Donna or Marjorie?
No, I think that is the sense of the discussion.
Okay, good. Marjorie, how about I had
one more thing about the COVID. Do you want me to talk about it now?
Sure.
It came up, the question about short-term and long-term. And right now, we're in the short-term of, you know, what do we do from day to day? But the question was raised about whether or not we should do some research and find out if there, in the long term, if there will be an opportunity for people to be tested here as well as on the mainland or whatever when they do a widespread testing. So I just thought I would bring that up so it's on somebody's radar screen, and whether we call CDC and ask, you know, how that will work, or because it would be too bad if they do a general testing and somehow people have to go to the mainland to actually do that. So I don't know whether we have Marjorie follow up or whether somebody on the CART team follows up to call the CDC, and just so that we kind of get an understanding of where they will be down the road.
I've just been listening to Dr. Shaw's daily update, or trying to anyway, if I can. And, you know, we're simply, the state simply isn't there yet in terms of testing. And I know you're talking about what happens in the future, but I guess what I think about is, well, what would the testing get us? Right now, we're asked to stay at home. And I think the assumption is that we have to assume that whoever we meet up with might have the virus. If we did the testing, I don't, you know, what would that, you know, what would that do for us?
I think the idea was, if in fact we did widespread testing in Maine, how would islands fit into that equation? I think that was really what the question was.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, but I'm raising it because it was asked, and you know, that maybe we just call somebody. I mean, I could call somebody in Augusta just to say, we're just wondering down the road. And I mean, I'm sure they're not there yet either, but they wanted to make sure we didn't get lost in the...
Yeah, it would seem like the Maine Island Coalition or Island...
Yeah, that's a good idea. I could get in touch with them.
Okay, anything else on the COVID-19 front? Okay,
no,
thank you.
No, just people have been working really hard, and between the people on communication and the people on outreach, they've really stepped up, and there are masks at Julie's, masks at the post office. There are more masks coming. They had some at the food pantry today. And I think, you know, people are really doing a good job trying to reach out to people who may be alone or may just need a telephone call once in a while. So anyone who's here listening in, if you just feel like, you know, just call somebody that you know, and just to say hello, I think that makes a big difference in somebody's day. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Do you have anything under regular administrative reports, Marjorie, that you want to talk about?
I can't think of anything.
Okay, that's fine. We're meeting every week now, so things are going by pretty quickly. All right, well, let's, if there's nothing else there, let's go into regular business. First order of business, I noticed, is mislabeled. My bad, 21036 is labeled budget. It really should be to consider the property on North Road. So let's look at the information we have in our packet. Do you want me to go ahead and put that up to look at, share the screen? Okay, so this is the letter Marjorie received March 23rd, emailed or written on the 17th, received at the town office on the 23rd. The essence of it is describing the property and expressing an interest in selling it specifically to the town. I don't think we need to go through the details of that, but it's there for your reference. Marjorie, this next page, I take it these are tax bills. Is that what that is?
Oh, that's just the value. Yeah. Am I muted or can you hear me?
No, I can
hear you.
Yeah, that's the value that we have on it, the assessed value, the 46,000, whatever. 46,200 is what it's assessed.
Okay, right here. And what are these numbers here?
Nothing. Well, that's the taxes.
Tax bill.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Okay, that's good. The piece in question is right here. So let's see if I can zoom in on that without screwing things up too bad. All right, so 26B is the parcel in question right here. This is the school, this is the rec center. This is the school. And this parcel is where Kids Place is right here. And that parcel sneaks back up into here. So 26C is owned by the rec center, as I understand it. So we have, there was a confusion about the road frontage. There is indeed 150 feet of road frontage here. 1.6 acres and an assessed value of 46,000 approximately. So discussion from the board. No discussion.
Well, I have my hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, David. Let me make you guys bigger.
I don't see an immediate need to spend $46,000 or whatever, but we might make the suggestion that the owner could take a tax write-off if that land were donated to the town.
Okay.
That might be a win-win.
Okay. Anything else, Donna, and then Jay?
Yeah. I guess my feeling is because of the proximity to the rec center and the school, that it does have potential value in the future. I mean, right now is not the greatest time for us to come up with money, but I wondered what we've done over the past when we've bought land, for example, Chandler's Cove from Sanford and different people, is paid for it over 3 years. And I wondered if she might be interested in doing something like that, where we could and not charge her taxes during that period, you know, make some kind of an agreement, because we could sell it for more than that probably tomorrow. And I don't see us as losing money on this. It's a nice piece of land if you go up there. They've already had all the septic systems designed and all the soil, I don't know if they've had that designed. They've had the soils tests, it's been surveyed. So all of that adds to the value of the lot as well. And I think that if we could enter into some kind of an agreement for multi-year purchase, given the situation we're in right now, not knowing what's going to happen, you know, with taxes in the fall and all that, that it would be looking to the future and be worth it.
Thank you, Jay.
Do we actually know how much she wants for it? Is my question.
No, it doesn't mention anything in the letter.
That's what I thought.
Oh, I thought she wanted this, the cost of what it was assessed at. I thought in one of her.
No, letters,
I thought that she said that.
Okay, here are a couple of thoughts that I would like to just toss out. I don't, if I heard what you said right, Donna, you were saying, well, we could flip the property and make money, which shocked me.
That's not
that
what
I doesn't was, seem like, can I finish?
That was, yeah, because you,
I guess
you're
no.
misquoting
what
me.
What did you say?
You're misquoting me.
Jay, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't, buying a piece of property just to buy a piece of property, even if it has some proximity to what we already own, I don't really get the point of that. In terms of just buying property, if you want to buy property on the island, even if it's 46,000 bucks she wants for 1.6 acres, you can buy other tracts. For instance, the piece next to the library, you can buy 7 acres for $100,000. You know, there are other values out there. So I'm not really quite sure why we would do this other than she's approached us and said, I'd like to sell it to you.
Okay. Anybody else?
I would like to clarify, I was not suggesting that we flip it. I was just saying that it would not lose, that if we could buy it for what it's assessed at, we would not, and in the future, if something happened that we didn't have the rest of the money, we could always We could sell it. My idea would be to keep it because it does abut the rec center property. In the future, we don't know what's going to happen with 32, which I assume is the Dan Kidd property, which goes back and forth. It's access to that from North Road. And I just think it's a potential for more open space in that area.
Okay, thank you. The amount of money we have right now for land acquisition, and I would sort of concur with Jay on one topic, and we don't really have a plan for why we would acquire property, and we just have never talked about it. We've had a couple of opportunities where people have, you know, wanted to convey property to us in one way or another. Some of them we take advantage of, and some we haven't. Sometimes we reached out, but we don't have any real philosophy on that helps us judge these things. So we're doing it sort of as one-off kind of things. Now, the amount we have in land acquisitions right now is about $4,500. Is that right?
It's around $5,000, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and mostly that's, I think, basically for the property that we're going to buy, you know, that we're swapping with Grimmel's, cover some of those costs.
Okay. I don't know that we've talked about that yet, but it certainly is a possibility. So there's not a lot, as you mentioned, Donna, there's not a whole lot to go from right there, but we certainly could put a letter together that makes David's point and makes your point that the town might be interested, but that right now, we don't have the funds to do it. Those are possible responses to this. Another response is to just say thank you very much, but we're not interested at this point in time, which would be, if we weren't serious about purchasing it, that would be the right thing to do. So that she can sell it, you know, on the open market. But it's nice, and we should respond in a, you know, courteous way that it's nice of them to give us sort of first refusal on it, and we appreciate the thought. So I would, unless there's more discussion, I'd accept a motion one way or the other, either to make a serious commitment to purchase this property and write a letter to that effect, but trying to defer, or simply writing back and saying thank you very much for your thoughts, but we're not interested. Anybody? David?
Yeah, I'm kind of writing this as I go, but I would move that we suggest the donation of the property. Given the uncertain times, with the note that we may be considering an offer in the future that might be spread over 3 years or something like that, kind of bridging both of those alternatives to either get it donated and they can take the tax write-off, or we can talk later about buying it over time. And I did get a message from someone who may not want to speak, that it could also be used for affordable housing at some point. And so it might be a good idea to kind of try to keep our options open. So that's my motion.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Can we simplify that into a statement so Christine doesn't have to write all
Yeah, the
that?
Statement would be ask our town administrator to write a letter to the property owner mentioning, one, the uncertainty of the times, two, the possibility of donating the land and taking a tax deduction, or three, later discussions at a future time to discuss a possible purchase over 3 years.
Okay, and you're okay with that second, Donna?
Yes.
So Donna seconds. Is there discussion on that motion from the board? I'm going to stop sharing so I can watch the public too. Jay, go ahead.
If we stop with the first part of what David said, I'm fine with it. But as it went on, it sort of says, if you don't donate the land, maybe in a year or so we can figure out how you can we can buy it from you. And I think that I go back to what you said, Herb, which was we really ought to say, if we're going to be interested, then we should move ahead and do something about buying. And if we're not, or don't really see a use for it at the moment, then I think that we should just turn around and say, if she'd like to donate it, that would be wonderful. We truly appreciate her thought. You know, if not, we're not in a position to buy it or move ahead with it now and stop there.
Okay. Anybody else comment on the motion? I guess my only comment at this point is I would like to see an offer, not only for our planning purposes, but for her planning purposes. If the intent would be for us to pay the assessed value, then I think we should state that right up front rather than sort of, you know, trying to hedge our bet and you know, she's not going to know whether we're going to try to negotiate down. We're not going to know whether she's going to try to get more than market value. So I prefer, if we're going to do this, to put that sentiment in there if that's our goal. Anybody else? David, go ahead.
Well, a couple things. First of all, it just occurred to me that it might be a nice show of good faith to forego property taxes for the upcoming year on the parcel. I don't know how much that is, but
I don't think we can do that. I don't think we can ever do that.
We can't do that. Marjorie's shaking her head. So okay. Yeah. And the other thing is Herb. I don't have a problem adding what you said. Only I would suggest that you make it an addendum to the motion, because I couldn't possibly repeat it.
Okay, I'll do that. Mark, go ahead.
The only reason I probably won't support this motion is I would prefer that we had some sort of a reason or a goal for purchasing a piece of property. In other words, is it going to be for parking? Is it going to be for a goal of an affordable housing area in the future, or so on and so forth? I don't think we are in that position. I'm not saying I'm against looking into property for possible future use, certainly, but I'm just not sure we're there yet with this parcel.
Okay. Donna?
I think that's one of the issues that you come across when you land bank, you know, when you look at property, is because we don't know specifically. But if we let it go, then we don't have that option in the future. And so, I mean, that would be my only thought. If we could get this for the assessed value, I think it would be a good deal. I'd be willing to support what Herb has said about putting that into the letter.
Okay. So 1.6 acres for $40,000. And that assessed value is because it's a buildable lot. Is that Marjorie? It sounds high for 1.6 acres, but maybe it's not. Is that because it's?
I don't know. I don't. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Okay.
Because it's a buildable lot.
Yeah. Okay. And what is our assessment right now in terms of our market? Are we at 70 or 80% ish?
We are at 75%, so okay. we're getting lower every year, and that's our ratio. Jackie and I have talked about some things that we can do, but
what that implies is that this is undervalued based on fair market by about that percentage, theoretically.
Generally, you could make that statement, but you know. Yes, generally that's what the state is saying, that all of our property is at only 75% of the fair market value.
Okay, just as a guideline, yeah. And then the only other thing to consider is that since it's not adjacent to any town property, technically, but it is adjacent to the rec center, we could recommend that they approach the rec center. That would be another approach we could take. And as I think it over, and as I think about what Mark said, which I sort of said myself in a way, I do tend to think that spending $40,000 of the taxpayer money as an investment without any real investment strategy probably isn't prudent on our part. So I'm not sure I'm going to support it either. And I was kind of there at the beginning, but I don't think I am now. So I'm not going to make that addendum, but you, one of the other of you are free to do that. Go ahead, Donna.
Oh, I lost my train of thought. Wait a second.
I'm sorry.
I know what my question was. Wouldn't the taxpayers have to vote to do this? It wouldn't be us. Wouldn't that have to go to town meeting?
It would.
So to me, that's, they have the ultimate say. And so it would be up to the people to decide whether or not they wanted to do this. All we're doing is being a steward to get it from one, to give them the opportunity to decide whether they want to buy it. And that's, I guess, where I'm coming from.
Okay. David?
Yeah, and backing off a step from that, since we don't have an offer or a tender from the owner, we really don't know. Yeah, they may be better off if it's 75%. Maybe they could do $75,000 as that write off on their taxes and be happy, or they could come back and ask for $100,000 and we'll say no. Those negotiations haven't happened yet, so I think this is kind of keeping our options open and leaving them something that they may not have thought about in terms of donating it to the town and taking the tax deduction.
I would suggest, though, that we talk, that we add, even though Herb doesn't want to amend it, that we do amend it to say that 46-2.
You can make that motion.
I am.
Okay. Is there a second?
What is that?
What's the motion?
I'm amending. I'm making a motion to amend. The amendment is to say that, we're looking at, that if we are able to go forward with this, we're talking about 46-2.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, so you're seconding?
Yeah.
Okay. Jay?
Well, we're sitting here negotiating among ourselves as to what we should make an offer. Why don't we just simply write a letter back saying, thank you for your thoughts. What exactly do you have in mind?
We could do that. We could.
Yeah. I mean, let's. I mean, instead of guessing, let's find out what they've got in mind. I mean, you don't have to suggest we're willing to buy it. You don't have to. Just be polite. Say thank you very much for your thoughts. What do you have in mind? And leave it there.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that approach as long as we do plant the seed of donating it to the town, because that may not have occurred to them.
Fine, you can toss that into the mix, but.
Right.
Okay. So do you want to withdraw and start the motion, or do you want to try to amend this motion to?
Well, I'm thinking.
I don't understand the motion to begin with, so I'm lost.
Okay.
We all are, Marjorie.
I thought I was pretty clear with one,
okay,
two, and
yeah,
three.
I thought it was pretty clear too.
Well, it doesn't matter, because I like Jay's approach better. Let's just say that we're interested. Has she thought about donating it? How much does she think the land would be worth to the town? That'll be a motion.
Okay, so you're withdrawing the first motion.
And coming up with a second one.
And the second.
All right, I'll second that.
Okay. So.
David?
Yes.
Go ahead, Chris.
I need you to repeat the motion that you want.
Okay, I move that we respond to the owner of the property, tell that we're interested, but we need to know how much she's asking for the property, and would she consider donating it to the town and taking the tax deduction.
Thank you.
Okay, Jay.
Can I just?
Is there a second, Donna? Did you second that?
Yes.
Okay, Jay, go ahead.
Can we just drop the word interested? Because that intends the idea that we want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
If we just simply say, she's approached us. just simply say, thank you for coming to us. What exactly do you have in mind? Have you considered donating the property? Another thought. Let us know.
Yeah, okay.
You okay with that sentiment?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right, Marjorie, you got enough to go on with the motion and the discussion we've had?
So you want to write a letter asking her what she...
What's up, honey?
What are you asking?
He said, what did you have in mind?
I guess I don't know what the motion is.
Okay. Jay, do you want to draft something and... Donna, do you have an idea before I...
I think that what it should say is, thank you for your letter. And we would like more information. And if we don't want to use the word interested, we'd like more information. Have you considered the possibility of a bargain sale, where you donate and explain how that works? Or have you thought about the possibility of selling it and receiving payment over time? And what price were you considering? I mean, so you're putting all those things out there, but you're not saying you're interested. I mean, you're not leading somebody on, you're asking for more information. Have you considered this? Have you considered this?
Okay.
I think that's pretty much what I said. So
I think it is too. I think we're all kind of saying the same thing. What I suggest is that Jay or David, Jay, if you're willing, draft some language.
I'd be happy to draft a letter, and Marjorie, I'll drop it by in the next day or so.
And then run it by the rest of the board before you send
it. And then you can tell me where I spelled things wrong.
Is that acceptable to everybody?
I think as long as it has all the options out there, yes.
And you'll see it before it goes out.
Yeah, and a quick review before it goes out.
Right. Okay. So we do have a motion and a second. Are we clear enough on that? It's really now to have Jay draft a letter for that incorporates all the things that were in the motion. We good with that?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to ask for a roll call vote. If there's no further, I guess I should open it up to the public. Any member of the public that wants to speak could now raise their hand. All right, I don't see anything. Do you see anything, David?
I see nobody.
Okay, we'll close the public comment and I'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you. Okay, next agenda item is the budget. To consider the capital plan and finalize the fiscal 21 budget. Again, we've moved our annual town meeting date out basically a month. So we need to finalize this as soon as we can, if for some reason we can't tonight. I got an email earlier from Jay, and you didn't send that to everybody, right? You just sent it to...
No.
Okay. I actually incorporated those so that it made it a little easier to talk about. And we can go through those. I guess what I wanted to do at the beginning of the process is look at the bottom line, sort of, and why don't I put it up on the screen. And so the risk making you dizzy here. All right, here is our bottom line. So we are currently $60,000 under last year's budget. Can everybody see that okay? Right here. Now we'll recall that there was $100,000 in main PERS and $10,000 in streetlights. So a flat budget would be down $110,000, theoretically. So our budget is actually up about $40,000, the way I read this. or $50,000 actually.
Yeah, 50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so instead of having it look like minus 1.78, it's really probably plus one or so, 1 point something. So I just want to ask the question and have us be thinking about it, you know, is that what we want to do this year? Or do we want to really try hard to flat fund? That would be my preference. But I'm, you know, it's the board's discussion. And, you know, the school is not flat funded either. They're close, a lot closer than they were when they started out. They really tried to bring things down. So I'm not sure it's a, let's see, where's the school? So education is right here. Education, it should be down 100,000. It's down about 81,000. So, you know, the split's probably 50-50. Marjorie, go ahead.
So last night the school board had a meeting and they made some further updates to the school budget. So it's actually down 6.53% and the dollar amount is down $85,915.
Okay, so instead of 19,000, it's more like 14 or 15,000. That they're actually up a little bit with that math. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this, and every once in a while we have these exceptional charges that happen. It's like when we switched from Greeley to Yarmouth and we all of a sudden had to pay an extra year of tuition or whatever. And, you know, we can play this game going back and forth, but last year we had to pay that money. We paid the money. And I don't know that it's helpful or it's confusing, I think, to the taxpayers. Basically, I know we're trying to like explain apples to apples, but we could do that with various expenditures because every year we buy something that we don't buy the next year. And when you look at it from that perspective, is it more confusing when you're trying to just pick out two things that were exceptional last year? You know, because in the capital, for capital even, you know, some years we buy a snowplow or some years we buy a dump truck or, you know, whatever. And then we're not going to buy it every year. And I guess that's how I'm looking at last year. And I think that the bottom line is we're pretty close to what we were last year. We can explain at town meeting that in reality, even though it looks like we went down, we didn't have the same exceptional spending and people's taxes will go down a little bit. But I think that if every year we try to get into this business of going back and saying, well, we spent that last year and we didn't spend it this year, it adds more confusion because there are many different topics or areas, departments that could fall under.
I understand what you're saying. I think it's really important for us. I don't think it's important for us to convey it to the public necessarily, but I think it's really important for us to understand that because if we think we're flat budgeting, but we had, you know, even a $10,000 cost that, you know, maybe should have been accounted for differently, it's really easy for the rest of the budget just to soak it up. And that's how things expand. And as we keep putting undesignated fund balance back into the revenue stream, we're even masking that further. So, you know, I just think we need to be cognizant of those things. I'm not suggesting we need to explain it to anybody but ourselves. But I think if you get unconscious about where the money went last year, it's really easy to let things get out of hand. And we're fortunate to be led by somebody who doesn't have that approach. Marjorie is very careful and very thoughtful line by line, but it's easy to get there. So I'm not suggesting we do anything except keep that as a benchmark. And if the board is happy with where we're at with this, then that's fine. Anybody else?
I'd just like to add that that's always been my concern about taking that money out of the undesignated surplus, that people don't understand that what we're doing. And we've done it ever since we became a town, off and on. And we used to do it more, I think, than we have lately. But it's the same issue, you know, in a different way.
Yeah, now we've done, last year we put $150,000 in. This year we're planning on doing the same. I mean, it's fairly significant.
Yeah, and I don't think people really understand that the town is really increasing their expenditures to that extent. We're not
increasing expenditures to that extent. We're increasing the revenue stream with money that's already been purchased. So it lowers the mill rate. It lowers what we have to raise in the next year. But the budget is the budget. We're not spending more money. Anything else, Donna, before I... Okay, Mark, go ahead.
I would just like to quickly say that I've once again gone through our operations section of the budget, page by page, line by line, and I really can't see too many places at all that we can, in my opinion, change too much with the operations side of the budget. So I'm pretty good with the operations proposed 2021 side of our operations budget. I think it's always the capital budget, as you all know, that you can take numbers out, put numbers back in, move numbers around, and do anything you want with it. But I have to say, again, I've gone through what we're proposing for the capital, and so far the proposed numbers that we've got for 2021 initial are building facilities. We're proposing putting $20,000 in there to possibly accomplish some maintenance up at the transfer station, I believe. And then solar array purchase, we're proposing $7,500 towards a possible purchase agreement there, and I believe 7 years is the number or something like that. And then we're proposing reevaluation reserve at $15,002. We're proposing right now $36,000 more for paving. We're proposing $10,000 for a possible recycling compactor, and we're proposing right now $5,300 at least getting a plan for looking at a repair down at Indian Point by the Hook. I just wanted to point out those are the new numbers that we're proposing in the capital budget right now.
Is that different than what I'm showing on the screen, Mark?
Mark, you were reading on the change in the budget instead of the appropriation. You were just on the wrong column, I think.
Yeah, I was just trying to highlight.
Right.
New.
Right. You were looking at 9,000.
So if I misspoke.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if I misspoke or miscategorized that, I apologize.
So you're looking here, initial. So that is a discrepancy with what we have in the capital plan. We have 20 in the capital plan.
Maybe I had the wrong sheet, I'm sorry.
No, I think it's a difference between what's in our capital plan document and what's in the budget.
Okay.
So this is what you were looking at, these numbers here. And then that, and that as well. Okay. So there's the highlight. So we're talking about raising $264,000 in new funds for the capital plan. Is that what that means right here? That's where we're at, right?
Yes. Right, yes.
Okay. Okay. Jay, go ahead.
Last week, we voted to spend $4,000 to improve the technology broadband possibility or capabilities at the town office, plus $19,000 for Axiom infrastructure related to expanding broadband. Where's the 19 grand coming from? Shouldn't that fit into the capital plan somewhere?
Yeah, did we actually vote to do that, or what was the actual motion? David, listen. David, I think, made the motion.
Yeah, he did.
David, you're muted.
I think the motion just was something about supporting in concept.
It was in concept, plus the fact, I think where we're coming out on it is we can do the 5,000 or 4,000 some odd, whatever it is, to get the town office online out of this year's budget. And then into next year's budget, I don't think it's going to be 19,000 or whatever the number was quoted at the time, until we have a chance to scope out whether we can use the generator and locate the facility near the town office. And we're waiting to do that. Well, we're not waiting. We're going to do that as soon as we get some of the people from Axiom out to scope that out. And I'm hoping, I was thinking right now, possibly we could put in $5,000 into the capital budget or $10,000 to cover that. I hope it's more like 5,000, but we won't know that for certain. And I'm expecting to have a firm number back before we actually put the budget to bed.
Go ahead, Jay.
Could we get some? I sort of feel like we're waffling our way into this. It's, it was 19 and change, and now it's, David just mentioned somewhere around 5,000 might be possible. Could we find out what we're actually talking about in terms of
exactly what I said, is that we need to get them out here to scope out the project and come back with a firm cost, and it's been rather difficult with the current situation.
Right. Okay. But we'll have a firm cost before we actually vote to go ahead. Is that right?
That's what I would like to see. Yes.
Okay. That's all I want to make sure about. The other thing, I just want to follow up on something that Mark said, if I may.
Sure.
Mark said he had gone through the operating budget, and I'm in agreement. I had sent Herb and Marjorie a little note earlier in the week. There are a couple of things that I think we may want to think about spending a little more money on or allocating more money in the budget, which namely is on page one of the budget, which is technology for the office. We should probably raise that by 2,500 to 3,000 bucks to cover the increased Axiom charges and Zoom, which do we know what we're actually spending on Zoom? That's a question. I don't know.
It's $40 a month.
Yep.
Okay. Well, then that's not going to be much, but so maybe, maybe make it 2,000 bucks. We increase that budget just to cover the increased technology requirements. The other thing is I'm going to skip ahead in my note, Department 8,000, which is the school technology budget, since they're using Zoom and other things as well, maybe we want to think about, should they increase that? I know it's not our budget to increase, but
they
might want to increase, although they should be getting a rebate from CTC for all the runs that the kids aren't taking this year, so that may all balance out. The other thought was that on page 7, line 1900, we should probably increase the legal to 10,000, if not 12, which was, I think was Marjorie's original idea. Just because with all the easements and other things that we're looking at, we're going to be running up some legal bills. So that, we may want to cover that. The other thing is on page 9, fire and rescue supplies. given the COVID issues and everything else, we may want to increase that budget by $1,000 just to cover all the personal protection gear. I know a lot of it's been donated so far, but they're probably going to have to buy some. And then the other thought was that on page 20, line 3164, we added the visiting nurse service, a donation to the visiting nurse service because they asked for it, and put $1,250 in there. You know, we could just eliminate that, you know, and save some money in that area. Those are my thoughts on the operating side.
So that would be 5 minus 1250. So you're talking about increasing it by 7 or 8,000 bucks
in total. But yeah, we know that some of those costs are coming, so we really ought to budget them.
7 or 8. I got 2 plus 3 plus 1, and then -1,000.
Wait a minute. Maybe I misspoke. Well, it depends on how much you add in for the extra legal.
Okay, Marjorie?
I think the fire department's okay. I mean, we have 9,000 in this year's budget, and we've only spent about 1,500. We are purchasing some extra supplies, but, you know, we've only spent 1,500 out of the 9,000, so I think we're good with the fire department budget.
Okay. Any comments on the other two, which were technology under administration?
The technology, I had made a note also that if you are going to make those upgrades, there will be a $75 to $100 monthly charge. So if it's $100 a month, that's another $1,200 for the Axiom upgrades. So I would agree that if you're going to go forward with that, that you need to increase admin technology by 1,200. The legal work, I guess I think it depends on if you keep going back and forth to the attorney. I think a lot of the work, the deeds have been drawn up, but there's some dissatisfaction with some of the drainage easements and the deeds that have been drawn. So I'm not sure how much more we're going to go back to the attorney, but most of that work is done. And I, you know, the visiting nurse, I guess, is your call.
Do we think we're going to continue to use Zoom after this emergency? Do we have a use for it in the next year? Or Donna?
Yeah, I think that we have no idea what's going to happen in the next year. I mean, they're talking about that next fall we could have, it could be worse than it is now. Dr. Shaw, either yesterday or today when I was listening to his update, says that we should be thinking about what could happen later in the summer. So it's really an unknown. I think what will happen.
Okay. All right. Well, Jay, do you want to form a couple of those based on that discussion into a motion, or Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm adding on to that. I guess personally, I feel that we should support the visiting nurse or whatever the organization is that's coming here. I just know it kept my parents in their house probably 5 years more than they would have been otherwise if we hadn't had one of those services here. I think that the people who come here really do a great job. The other thing that we haven't talked about is, are we going to make a contribution to the hall sound system?
Okay. Jay, do you want to try to get your stuff done first? But we should keep in mind what Donna's talking about. Do you want to wait and do it all at once?
Why don't we wait and do it all at once?
All right, fine. Let's see. Where would that come? Where did we say that would come out of? Oh, we don't. It depends on the cost, right? We might.
Well, it depended. I mean, they thought at one point we were paying 50%. I think you clarified that. So the question is, how much do we want to contribute to it? And do we want to upgrade it minimally so that we could keep the tables on the floor as opposed to being on the stage? And, you know, that would be an added cost of, it's hard to tell because of the way they wrote the person wrote the proposal, because it's not what he told us when we talked, when we were on the conference call with him, but that would be at least probably $3,000 more for, because they had to put another something or other in a panel. I don't understand any of the technological stuff about it. But so I guess the first question is, do we want to contribute anything to the basic, to the sound system? And secondly, the question is, do we want to consider putting money in for an upgrade?
Okay. Do you have a recommendation for us?
I wasn't part of the initial discussion. I mean, I think we should give something. I don't think we should probably pay 50%.
Mark?
Do we have a total number, Donna, that they're spending?
Well, I think they're talking about over 30,000. So, and I think that somebody did an analysis and assumed and figured out that we're about a third of the use of the hall. I can't remember. I saw that someplace. And so if we were a third, if we paid, you know, if we donated $10,000 to it, but the question is, you know, I'm not sure where their funding, the rest of their funding's coming from. Right now, the whole project's on hold anyway because of where we are in the Kenora virus, and they really don't know what they're going to do going forward.
So, go ahead, Jay.
I guess I'm finding it very hard to think about voting positively for this. Mostly because I've never had a problem having myself heard there. I don't think anybody on this board has had a problem making themselves heard. I think during town meeting, people have not had problems when they speak up a little bit. And, you know, I'm not sure that I get the point of why we would do this.
I think there are a lot of people who are not able to hear people speaking at those meetings. You may not realize it yourself, but I mean, I have people talk to me all the time. And we have people who, you know, do try to sit in close to the front as possible. We have people who are hearing things, one thing, but they're not really hearing what they think they heard. So we need to do something. Either we come up with what some places do is they have a microphone and people stand up to the microphone and speak, because people are not hearing the other people in the audience speak. So there is an issue. There's no question there's an issue in the building. The question is, do we want to try to mitigate that?
Marjorie?
I don't have a problem with helping them fund this project, but my problem with it is you don't even know what it's going to cost. There is no final proposal or total cost for what this is going to cost to install.
So yes, there is.
What is that?
It's about $30,000.
That was the proposal that came in on March 3rd, but then after...
The question is, but that's what I'm saying, there's two different proposals. One is, do we want to contribute to that, or do we, do people want, and that's based on us sitting on the stage.
Well, could I just finish my comment?
I'm sorry.
So the memo from, or the email from Sam McLean said that we were about 28% of the use of the hall. So that's 8,400 if you're talking about percentages of use. So I'm not trying to tell you what to contribute or not to contribute, but anyway, that's what the memo said.
Mark?
But it sounds like to me that this project is obviously on hold because of the COVID-19 situation, correct, Donna?
As of right now, they're not going to make a decision until June.
Right. And so my point being, if we decide to propose some sort of a donation number, then I think it probably, you know, is part of this. Do we try to fit it into a capital? I don't know. Would it be a one-time capital gift, Herb? Is that how it would be categorized?
I'd think of it that way. Yeah. I think of it in the capital budget because it's an investment in something that's going to last for a while.
Yeah. So I think if we keep it that simple for tonight, do we want to try to fit a number in with our other discussions of the capital side or not? I think probably that's the best way to approach it tonight, anyway.
So yeah. I agree. And we can stick a number in there for planning purposes, and you know it can be whatever number we want. And you know, if we don't want to do it, that's fine too. But we should sort of give them an indication, you know, if we're going to participate in it or not at some point. So I guess if we were to put it in the capital plan. And let's go down. So Marjorie, would you agree that it should be a capital expense, or would you handle it differently?
I go back and forth on those one-time expenditures. Right. You know, but it doesn't, I don't have an opinion either way, really.
Okay, thank you. So technically, we don't have anything that really fits that in the capital plan, though. That's the sort of the problem.
It's really a donation.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It's more like where we have the donations to the various nonprofits. I mean, it's almost like that's where it should go.
Go ahead, Jay.
Donna, I agree with you on that particular point. Because we're really giving money to the hall. We're not getting the equipment. We have no ownership in the equipment. Our capital budget is for things that we have ownership in.
It's true.
So it would be basically, we'd be giving a gift to the hall.
So in that case, I don't think we need to make a decision for planning purposes, because probably what we would do is have a separate warrant article for it. And we can do that kind of at the last minute when we're putting the warrant together. We can make that decision. But and Donna, I'm sure you will, but if you could keep that on your radar screen, so when we get to that point in the discussion, that we can suggest that. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, I think it does. And I'm going to talk to Chip Emery and see if he can dissect what that additional amount would be. But I guess what I'd like is a sense. Do people care about, is it okay to be on the stage? I mean, that's really the issue. Do you want the table set up on the stage? And if that's the case, then we don't have to worry about any additional money to the project. Or do you want to, do you think that we should have it be on the floor? So that's really the question.
Jay?
Are we talking about for meetings?
Yes.
For regular Board of Selectmen meetings where we've got a good 10 or 15 people there? And we're worried about being heard, and do we want to be on the stage or down with the troops? I mean, it seems to me that this is becoming a little, I don't know, I'm losing track of the point.
The way their proposal is written is that that the selectmen would be on the stage as part of, and that's how the microphones would be suspended above the heads of, you know, from the ceiling of the stage. For the additional, whether it's 2,000 or 3,000, would be we could be on the floor the way we are now, and there would be some individual microphones. But it needs a different wiring situation, and they have to add something to some box or something. That's why I'm going to try to talk to Chip and see if he can explain it better.
I think you've explained it well. Getting up on the stage, they're going to mic the stage anyways, because the other percentage of this is play productions and that sort of thing, and they're going to mic those people, and concerts and that sort of thing. And so if we just take advantage of that part of the system that they're already going to do, won't cost us anything, we just put it up on the stage. If we don't feel like we need it, we don't have to go up on the stage. But it would be part of that. So I think you explained it pretty well, and based on my reading of the thing now a couple months ago. So it's more a question of, it still sounds like a lot of money for the system, but it's probably what they cost. We spent about $10,000 at CVMR just wiring a conference room, a much smaller conference room, for sound and a few other things. So it mounts up pretty quick. Jay's probably right. It probably wouldn't solve too many problems at our regular meetings, because they tend to be pretty small, but at the larger gatherings, in a town meeting, I certainly could see an advantage to it. So I'd be inclined to consider setting something aside when the time comes myself. But I don't think wiring it specially for us to stay down on the floor is probably a big consideration in my mind. Anybody else? Mark?
Let's just, like you say, keep this on the back, on the front burner, and give it some consideration of a separate warrant article at some point in the near future.
That's the way I'd do it. Okay. Anything else on the budget before Jay makes a motion to... Go ahead, Marjorie.
I was waiting for whatever we're doing with Jay's email.
Okay.
Okay.
Jay, you want to go ahead with something?
Sure. So taking into consideration what Marjorie just mentioned about the fire budget and some other things, I would like to move that line one, wherever that is, wait a minute. Okay, line one, page one, 2041, technology, we increased by 2,000 to cover Axiom and Zoom. Line, page seven, where are we? Line 1900, legal, that we increased by 2,000, unless Marjorie, you really don't think that's necessary. And lastly, line 3164, which is page 20, that we eliminate the visiting nurse service. I think they do a fine service. I don't know which one we're talking about, because there are hospice and the visiting nurse are a whole bunch of different operations. One of them asked us for money. I don't think we could get 10 requests like that. So I would eliminate that.
Okay. So you're talking about 2 + 2 minus 1250. Okay. Is there a second to that motion? No? Okay. Is there a different motion? Go ahead, Donna.
I would move that that we follow Jay's suggestions up to the point where he takes the money away from the visiting nurses.
So you're suggesting adding 2,000 to administration, 2,000 to legal. Period. Right? Is that your motion?
Yes.
Is there a second to that motion?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay. Discussion on that motion? Okay. I've got to stop sharing this. If we have any public left, still we do. We have more, actually. No, we don't. We have less. We're down to six attendees. I would open it up to the public if anybody would like to speak on the motion, which is to raise the budget by $4,000 to cover administrative costs of broadband upgrade and potential legal costs. Is there any public comment on that motion? Okay, seeing none, I'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you very much. Mark, do you want to make any motions regarding the capital plan? Or are we good with where that is?
I don't know that we need a motion. I'm good with where the capital plan is with the proposed, and please forgive me, I was reading from the wrong capital sheet before, Marjorie, good catch. I'm actually good with where we have it right now and the proposed 2021 initial items.
Okay, which is a total of $264,000 and is actually an increase in our capital plan spending from last year of about 6% or $15,000, which is essentially the recycling compactor we sort of threw in at the
end.
Okay, so are we ready to finalize the budget? Does anybody think, or should we hold off a little bit? Jay, go ahead.
I just, one question, if Herb and Mark, on the paving, we've got just short of 200 grand in that account now. We have scheduled to put another 186,000 in. And I guess my question is, the chip and seal, which we want to do on all the remaining roads that need it, how much is that actually going to cost? I'm a little confused as to, you know, we're going to theoretically we blow through or use $380,000 next year.
Yep, here it is. It is at the end of the packet.
Right.
So the recommendation is to do this chip sealing right here in this coming year, 2020. And then the ongoing projects, the $197 stays in there for Firehouse Road and Stone Wharf Road. So that allows us to do, if the paving company can actually do it, and as soon as we can get them out here, we can get them to commit to it, but I don't think it's going to be a problem. We've already talked to them about it once, quite a while ago. We could pave Firehouse Road, we could widen Stone Wharf Road, and we don't have a hard number on the Stone Wharf Road. We don't know exactly what we're going to do. But, you know,
are we actually ready to
50-50-ish.
Are we actually ready to pave Firehouse?
I think we can do it at any time at this point. The main reason we were holding off is in case they wanted to move any of the culverts.
Right. And
currently, that's not in the plan. Mark, do you is that your impression of where we're at with Firehouse Road?
I think we still have culverts to do.
On Firehouse?
Yes.
So they wouldn't be done by this construction? I mean, we don't have major work to do on them, do we?
No.
Okay. I think that the original idea was that if we were going to change the drainage easement part of it in any significant way and had to reconfigure culverts in a large project, that we might need more money to do that. But at this point, I think we could just replace the few culverts that need replacing and do the paving on it. Is that our impression, Marjorie and Mark?
I think that the thing that we're not discussing is the cost of the work of the permanent drainage project on the private property.
Right, which doesn't come out of the paving. The question is, do we need to, can we do the paving anytime, or is it an integral part of the drainage?
So as I recall, we wanted to have the drainage easements in place. So if those are voted on, I guess that's part of the discussion tonight. Are we going to vote to have those on a near future town meeting warrant to approve those drainage easements? I think what the selectmen discussed was having those in place.
We may have used that terminology. My thinking on it at the time was that we didn't want to do the paving until we were sure that we wouldn't have to disrupt the road. And not seeing anything in the design that's going to do that, I don't think it should hold up the paving, but I'm open. Mark?
I think you're both kind of correct. I think Marjorie's right. We definitely had a goal of trying to make sure that the drainage easement that went down past Roy Jackson and John Riley was going to be able to be secured. And also, if you pave a road, especially with the product that we use, which is cold mix, which tends to be very soft when it's first put down, that you don't have to set up and run too many heavy vehicles, you know, on it, and certainly near the edge for a period of time. So I think you both have good points.
So Mark, does that mean that we could defer the Firehouse Road and use some of the existing money against the, which is kind of where Jay's point was going, I think.
Yep.
Go ahead, Donna, while we're thinking.
I think we should go forward with it. It's part of the overall budget that we've talked about. And I think that we've talked about Firehouse Road since we became a town, well, since 20 years before we became a town.
Yeah.
And I just think we should do it and stop talking about it. And I guess that's my feeling.
But you understand the balance between doing the drainage easements and getting that work done before we pave, so, right?
But aren't we going to do that as part of the town meeting?
Probably, yeah. But we might still do all the drainage easement work first and still may not want to pave until the following year, but we don't know, really. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Donna. This road was slated to be done 2 years ago and got held up because of the drainage situation, and it has been lacking for probably the last 10 or 15 years. I don't want to wait another year on it.
So let's try to leave the money in there and try
let's
to get
do that.
It done.
Yep.
Okay. And Jay, this is what I was talking about at the last meeting. I don't know if you saw this, but this cost uses $40,000 per mile for cold mix. And then this is a double chip seal, so it basically doubles the cost of it. That's where the $186,000 comes from.
Right.
How hard that estimate is in next year's economy is kind of anybody's guess.
Price of petroleum's dropping like crazy.
Yeah, it might be cheaper.
Yeah, they may pay us.
Yeah, my only question and the only concern I'm raising is if we can do all this in, you know, shortly, soon, then fine, let's spend the money and do it. I don't have any problem. I just don't see the point to stockpiling money in that account if we can't do the work.
Yeah.
Because we can lower that a little bit and come in with, you know, a flat budget. Wouldn't take much.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Mark?
I realize we shouldn't be bringing people over here to the island too quickly, And we spoke about this with Marjorie last week, specifically with Jerry Douglas from Allstate Asphalt. But probably at some point in the next month or so, we should probably try to get some sort of a quick site meeting with him wearing masks and staying apart from each other, and try to figure out, just exactly like Jay said, how much can we get done? And then as long as everything's included in the town meeting in July now, I guess, and it passes, then what's the goal date for the work? Usually it's September. Yep. I think it's doable. There's going to have to be some other work done. Today they discovered a culvert right at the bottom of Roy Hill, where South Road begins to the end, which is going to be double chip sealed, which is in badly need of replacement. It's completely rusted out and plugged up. So that's going to have to be fixed.
Okay. So for planning purposes, is there any real objection to leaving this the way it is? We could always get to town meeting if we get to that point and take money out of the budget. That would be a pretty easy vote. It would be harder to vote the other way. So maybe we leave it in as planned at this point, and we could always stand up and modify the budget at town meeting if we needed to. We might still have time to do that. Go ahead, Donna.
Well, my question is, when does the warrant have to be finalized for the town meeting? I mean, it's not till July, so aren't we still talking about, we still have until into the end of May and into June to be finalizing?
We probably do. Marjorie, how do you feel about finalizing the budget in terms of schedule, when we should really get it finalized?
Well, it would be nice to get a sense of where we are so that I can start writing up the warrant.
Okay.
But, you know, as always, it seems like there's always changes right up until the last minute. And as to timing, I mean, it's got to be posted 7 days before we meet. But, you know, it's just, from my perspective, more of a comfort level of just trying to get it finalized so that I know that it's final.
Ahead,
it seems to me that we're really, you know, we're pretty close, and it seems that most of this can be done. And, you know, if we've got a couple of areas where we're waiting for Jerry Douglas to get here, that's only, you know, a small part of the whole budget. And I think that we can at least, that, you know, Marjorie can at least start a draft. And, you know, if it's a moving target, if there's something that needs to be changed, we've still got plenty of time.
Okay. Everybody else concur with that? I think I do. Okay. So let's leave the budget as it stands right now. And are we comfortable leaving that, you know, for the next few weeks anyways, as we go forward with our dates and finalize it maybe after we talk to all states? Is that a reasonable approach? Okay. Okay, then in that case, I think we're done with this part of the discussion, unless somebody has anything else. All right, so let's go back to the agenda. That was a long discussion to spend $4,000, but I think it was a good one. It's really hard to get our bearings in this new environment. All right, so item 21038, the annual town meeting. So the idea here is to decide what we think, and again, we have some time, but so that Marjorie can start planning and so that we can figure out if we have more work to do between now and then, what are the items that are non-budget related that we need to address at town meeting? Go ahead, Mark.
At our last meeting on Marjorie's memo to us.
Yep.
The fourth paragraph down said, the board will have to make some decisions about budget and what other warrant articles to focus on. In addition to the budget, we have the approval of the exchange of property on North Road, Firehouse Road easements, Caps Road easements, and the solid waste ordinance. Out of those items, I believe those items could be easily accomplished. I may have to be corrected with the Caps Road situation. I would ask what the situation is. Maybe Marjorie and Donna have an opinion on that.
So with the Caps Road, there is still discussion about who we need an easement from. We had a survey done for the purpose of writing up drainage easements, and David Bouffard's recommendation is that we only needed one from Rich Hubbell. So the last conversation that took place is that, well, I really think we need an easement from the Tonks, and then the other two abutting property owners, Alexandra and Rosemary Merchant.
Is that Caps. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't think the discussions are final.
Okay.
So I don't. You know, that was Mr. Buffard's opinion, that based on the work as presented in the CV and Mahar drawings, we only needed that one, but I don't think the discussions are over. I mean, there are differing opinions from several different people on what we need for easements.
Do you need guidance from us or a decision from us on that front, or?
We've never continued the discussion after, let me look at my notes. So the last conversation we had, I went back to David Bouffard, and then he redid the survey and extending the road, showing the road more clearly.
Yeah.
But then I don't think we've ever gone back and continued the discussion.
Okay, so that should probably be a future agenda item. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay, Donna?
My suggestion would be to ask, maybe we need to get a legal opinion from Natalie or somebody about whether or not Tonks is an abutter. Because if his line is out in the shore, and this is between the shore and the bank, I guess that was my concern.
Okay. Marjorie, do you have more research to do, you think, with legal decisions before you bring it to us, or do you need direction from us to do that, or how are we going to make the decision, I guess, on how to move forward?
I'm just wondering if I've already asked that question. I mean, you know, my file's pretty thick at this point. I guess I would like to go back through and see if I've already asked that same question, and then if we haven't, just put it on as an agenda item and talk about it, and I can look through the file and see what I have for legal opinions.
Okay, I will leave it up to your judgment about when to put it on the agenda, right? So okay. as I move forward here, when you feel ready to bring that to us, you go right ahead. What else, Mark? You were walking us through those four things.
That's why I pointed out Caps Road, because I could tell we're not quite there. But as far as the exchange of property on North Road, Jay, that's certainly close enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Marjorie?
So Donna had a question. She had a question about the release deed as opposed to a warranty deed. And I did ask our attorney about that. So I don't know if we want to put that on as an agenda item as well.
I had a call from the Grannels about that question, and he left a message. I haven't got back to him yet. He just called yesterday because they really want this to go forward. And so my question was, did we need a title search?
So do you want me to read Natalie's reply, or do you want to have that on a future agenda?
I'm okay reading it if it's not too extensive. Yeah.
Okay. David Bouffard recommended that the deeds into the town be release deeds, since the Grinnell title wasn't at all clear and it appeared that the town might already own some of the property. So the deeds for those areas would just have confirmed the town's title. We did our work based on David's recommendation and did not do title research since it was not requested. If you would like to get a warranty deed, we could request that, but then they are likely to want a warranty deed in return. So the best way to deal with the concern is to do title work before any approval of the land swap. Assuming everything is okay, we would be able to issue a title insurance policy to the town. The cost would be at our hourly rate for the title work, plus the cost of the insurance premium, which would be $3 per thousand of the fair market value. The insurance works with either a release or a warranty deed, so you could still give the Grinnells a warranty deed. Also, with the advanced title work, you would know whether there is a problem before closing, and then you could choose not to go forward. With title insurance, the town would be able to sell the property in the future if it chose to do so.
Yeah, I really think we need to do that because we don't know for sure what we're going to do with the property. And I think it's prudent to do that title search now.
So do I understand that the risk involved is that there may be another party that has an interest in the land that they're giving to us? Is that the issue?
I didn't understand it that way, but...
Donna, do you understand what the issue is?
The issue that they're not sure about how somebody got hold of a certain amount of property. I mean, I'm not sure exactly because I haven't looked at all of it. But if, in fact, in the future, that we do want to do something with this, whether it's affordable housing, whether it's whatever we do, I think that it's to the advantage of the town to make sure it's right to start with.
So the issue is not between a potential third party, but the issue is between the two parties involved in the swap. Is that?
That's what it sounds like, but I haven't really looked at the deeds. Okay. And it was a multiple family. They're the descendants of the people who lived where Howard Coffin lives. And there are multiple descendants, all over Shebig who are involved, who might be involved if there is some kind of an issue. But I don't know what the issue might be because, as I said, I haven't looked at those deeds.
Okay.
To me, it would just be prudent to do it right.
Do we have any sense of the cost of that?
So,
I know it's at their rate, but that's probably more than I want to know what their rate is. But.
We haven't spent a lot on legal fees. We've spent $676.50. We did spend $5,500 on the survey. Okay. And there was a question from Mr. Grinnell if we're splitting the costs, if they could pay their half over a period of 2 or 3 years.
What?
Yeah, it sort of depends on where we end up with the cost, I suppose.
So with more legal fees, so $3 per thousand of fair market value.
Sounds like there's more work to do on this before town meeting. So that these are all the questions about, you know, are we going to be ready for town meeting? What has to be done? And do we want to raise it to the priority level that to get it to town meeting? That's really the question we're talking about right now. Is yeah. Do we want to make sure we can do this in July? And if so, we need to up the priority on these things. We can also call, these aren't budget items, these aren't levying taxes, so these can be resolved or these can be acted on by the town at a special town meeting at any point. So if we shouldn't feel under pressure to get these things done if we don't want to, and if we tell Marjorie that, you know, we're not worried about putting these things on the annual town meeting, then, you know, that's going to change her priorities. So I just want to keep that in mind, keep it in your heads, that that's what we're after here. Mark?
I do, if I may finish with that list, I do think the firehouse road drainage should remain as a goal for a warrant article vote in the July meeting. And okay. I also think we can easily bring the modifications recommendations of the solid waste ordinance to that meeting as well. And possibly if we decide to, the sound system would be another a possible separate warrant article if we get to that.
Yeah, it would be in the budget because it would be levying taxes, but yes.
Oh, sorry, right.
You're right. Okay, Marjorie, does that sound like there's at least two of them that are sure? We feel like we're okay with the firehouse road, and we feel like we're okay with the solid waste ordinance changes. Is everybody in agreement with those two?
I still have to get some stuff to Marjorie on the solid waste, but that's minor. I think the Grannels have thought all along that we were going to get this thing done. And if it's possible, I think we should try to get it done for this town meeting.
So am I supposed to work on the warranty deed? Is that something you want me to go ahead with?
What's involved in that effort? I mean, how much of your time is that going to take?
It's attorney's fees. It's not me.
Okay, so you just start the process and then we pay the bill?
Yes.
Now, we're already over on attorney's fees. Would those fees likely be payable after the first of the year, or do we have money to do that?
Unless you wanted to take it out of the land acquisition.
Which was where Jay was coming from earlier. That seems appropriate, but it's only $5,000 in there. Does anybody have an objection to taking money out of the land acquisition fund? Go ahead, Donna.
I think Marjorie said we'd only paid $600 so far, right? We'd only taken $600 out of that? Out of the land acquisition for this project? Is that right?
Well, we had $5,000 in survey. I don't know where that came from.
I think the $676.50 has just come out of our regular legal account.
Oh, okay.
The $5,500 came out of reserve money. I mean, these amounts, I had to go look at four or five different bills to come up, you know, to add them together. It kind of came in dribs and drabs for the Grinnell work.
Okay, Mark?
I don't have an objection if Marjorie thinks that's appropriate. And I do think it should be a goal to try to wrap that North Road property up if we can.
Okay, Marjorie, can you make the dollars work?
Yeah, I think we're all right. But okay. I just want to confirm. You want me to move forward to get warranty deeds?
We'll give you a motion in a minute.
Okay.
Jay?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that we ought to move ahead with the Grinnells and get that done. It's, you know, it's been in process for a year and a half or so.
We're all more comfortable with the warranty deed?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Let's have a motion so it's clear for Marjorie that that's what we want. Directing Marjorie to pursue warranty deeds for that property.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we ask Marjorie to proceed with a warranty deed on the tax exchange or the property exchange on North Road with the Grinnells.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll open it up to the public. Any members of the public that would like to speak on the motion can raise their hands now, their virtual hands. Okay, seeing none, I'll call a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill? I'll take that as a yes. You're muted.
Yes.
Thank you. And Mr. Main is a yes. Passes unanimous. Thank you. You got enough to go on, Marjorie, on that project?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, certainly. And then the Caps Road piece. What's the board's pleasure with Caps Roads? Do we want to try that for... we decide to put that on a future agenda item.
Yeah.
So we don't need to decide that tonight. Okay, I think we're good. Is there anything else that anybody can think of relative to the annual meeting town warrant that we should take up at this point? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to other business. Is there any other business, David?
Yes, somebody asked me about car and boat registrations, how they're being done. I guess that's a question for Marjorie.
So as you know, the governor in her order said that people, that car registrations are suspended, but we have been doing some. We have to have proof of insurance, and then people can either call in with a credit card, or some people, we get it all figured out and they drop a check in the drop box outside. I guess that one of the keys is that we do need to somehow look at their insurance card, whether they email it to us or fax it in or send us a picture on their phone, or, you know, we do have to see that before we start. And then we work it out with either a check or a credit card.
And is that for both off-island and on-island registrations?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And boat registrations?
Boats?
Yeah.
We've been doing some boats, yeah.
Okay.
It's the same thing. If people are local, they, you know, will get the total amount and they can drop off a check. Or same thing. Or we can just do it by phone and we take a credit card and then we mail things to them.
So the answer is business as usual, just check with you is what the procedure will be.
We're just not allowing people to come in and out.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay, any other business for the board to take up? Marjorie and then Donna.
So I also had a question about the tie-up sticker fees. Is that what we call them, tie-up?
Yeah, we know what you mean.
Board fees. I haven't been collecting those because it's something whereby we have the forms here and people come in and they fill out the form and then we collect. It's anywhere from $50, usually $125. That's the average price for a resident. So I hadn't been trying to collect those because it was more of an in-person thing. And we thought about a clipboard and then we thought, well, we'd have to sanitize the clipboard every time. So what I'm asking the selectmen is, do you want me to try to start collecting those tie-up fees? And the way that we thought we could do it is to send everybody that had a tie-up sticker last year, send them the blank form, and then they could send that in, and then we would have to send back the sticker. Or we could leave the sticker in the drop box and they could pick it up in the drop box.
Transient tie-up, so where does that fall in the revenue
stream? Transient is different.
Right, where does that fall in the revenue?
We usually collect about $7,000 a year.
Is that the Stone Wharf, Stone Wharf permits, is that what it is?
Yes, yes. Okay.
I think that you, my feeling is that what you've come up with for a plan is a good idea, and that just mail them back the sticker. I wouldn't worry about the 55 cents, you know, of having people trying to pick stuff up in the box and all that. Just do it through the mail. I think it makes sense. think it's a reasonable way to do it.
And what level of effort are we talking about for your time of your staff? And
We sold 66 of them last year, so we talked about it today, and I don't think it would be that bad, you know.
Okay.
And we looked at I also had a comment about non-residents coming over in boats, but I don't know how I can stop that. And as far as these tie-up stickers go, we only sold 2 non-resident, and we charged $375 to a non-resident. And again, we only sold 2 last year.
Yeah. Mark?
My only suggestion is that you and the Harbor Master may want to have a goal of a due date, whether it's the month of May, June, July, whatever right. you choose. That way you can right. put that information in and say, you know, these tie-up stickers and the money are due by whatever.
Right. I was thinking about maybe May 15th, just to give people a few weeks to get it done. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, you got enough to go on with that?
Yes, and let's see. Are we going to still meet weekly?
I was going to bring that up. We can bring it up right now. How do people feel about weekly meetings at this point? Can we go back to every other week, or do you want to keep meeting weekly? Go ahead, Mark.
I think we should try bi-weekly and see if that works, and to see if we're getting enough business done in preparation of certainly of our July town meeting, and whether we're staying up to date enough with the good work that's being done by the town and the committee, and see how it works.
Anybody else have an opinion on that? I'm happy with that.
Yeah, Donna? I think it's reasonable, and you can always call a special meeting if something comes up.
Okay, so our next meeting would be 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so be it. Anybody have anything else? Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wondered, before we got into this virus, we had talked about getting some kind of an estimate about Indian Island. And I wondered if Marjorie had ever had a chance to talk to somebody about coming down and looking at that road before, it was all around the same time, so it may not have happened.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy. there have been some emails going back and forth with the Indian Point Company people, Brunner and Bob Halpin. And then also there's a group of people that are looking into getting a grant to do this work. And I contacted Maine Coastal Planning, and they couldn't give us any money for the planning grant on that because we don't actually own the underlying property. But I don't think I'm trying to think back now. I don't think I ever contacted an engineering company. I remember looking at the list of engineering companies that we have here, and I wasn't really sure. That was it. I wasn't really sure the direction that you wanted to go. I think your motion said something like to have Marjorie contact one of the companies that we vetted, and that was done before my time, so I don't think I was really sure what direction I should go in terms of which engineering company you thought could handle something like that.
Okay, so what do we do next? Because we really probably need to get an idea about how much that would cost. I think we said we had like $5,500 in there for a plan that could be used for planning. And maybe we can do the work ourselves. But I think we had Gorel and Palmer, we had CV and Mahar. Can anybody think of another engineering company that was on that list?
Barney Baker probably was on there, wasn't he?
Barney Baker? Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. Yes, I think he probably was.
Where
so
is
those
this
are three
list?
Choices.
Where is this list?
I'd have to dig back. We did have we did have a list, but it was Eric Dyer, I think, during his tenure, that we put out an RFP, we got a bunch of responses from it, and we talked to those. We basically, you know, adopted that group of people as the people that we agreed that could go out there. But, you know, we're not bound to that. And we're also, I think that the real idea is that this doesn't warrant going out for an RFP. I don't think we're going to save the taxpayers any money by doing that.
So just call one of them. I would suggest just calling any one of them and asking them if they could look at it and give us an estimate of what it would cost to design a fix. That's the first place. And part of that fix would be an estimate of what it would take to fix it.
Yeah, I think probably any of those guys could do it. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'm actually fine with that approach too, Marjorie. I just think you should pick one or two of the engineers, see if you can get anybody to look at it at some point and get an estimate of how much the plan might cost.
Yeah, I think those three are a good start. Anybody have any other ideas for Marjorie on that? Or for Donna? Okay, anything else? Any other business?
Well, I just had a clarification because and I don't know if we're going to vote to accept the minutes or not, but at the last meeting, I brought up the possibility of getting doing some planning with some money that we already had on the 80-foot ramp idea at Cousins Island, and I thought the consensus was that it was okay to go and get more information, but there was nothing in the minutes about it, and I just wanted to make sure that that I was correct in the in understanding that.
My understanding is where we were at with that was that we needed some engineering.
Right, and I was going to get information, but there's nothing reflecting that it ever had, that conversation ever took place. So I didn't want to go out and do something and have somebody come back and say, why did you do it? Because we didn't want you to do it.
And what is it you're going to do exactly?
Well, what I was going to do is try to find somebody who could give us an estimate of what it would cost to design something.
Okay. So you're just doing research, you're not engaging anybody.
Right.
Does anybody have an objection to Donna going out and doing that? Okay. And Christine, would you make sure that gets in the minutes this time? That there was consensus that Donna should contact some engineering firms to address the where is it over there? I can't remember. It's been so long since I've been over there. Cousins Island. The Cousins Island Wharf. I forgot what it looks like.
Because I think the thought was, because I had initially suggested calling Scott Dyer, but it was pointed out that he already gave us a drawing and we needed more than that. Am I right?
Yes.
That's where we are?
Yes. We need some real engineering work in it, and it's probably going to cost a little money to do it. So we'll have to decide that when you come back to us with some information.
Okay.
Any other, no other business though, right? Okay. And so we're approving the other minutes. I don't think we need to amend them. Donna, are you comfortable with just the direction you got now?
Yeah, I guess I would like to say that in these particular minutes, I just felt like they didn't really capture the feeling of that minute meeting. And I know that theoretically you only have to have what's in there that's actually voted on, but we did talk about the LaPointe issue and that wasn't in the minutes. And for me, there were certain things we talked about in the Capitol that would have been helpful if that had been captured so we could remember what we talked about. So that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Anybody else have anything or a motion to approve the minutes? David? You're muted, sir.
Move to approve the minutes as drafted.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
I think Mark got there first. Okay. If there's no discussion, we'll take a roll call. Seeing no discussion, Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Here. Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. Passes unanimous. Thank you very much. I will accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, and seconded by David. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Manzi, yes, passes unanimous. We'll see you here in 2 weeks.
Thank you very much.
Have a good week. Stay well, everybody.
Thanks, Marjorie. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
Good night, John Boy.